Today on Real Life Radio.
Don't let another man who is sinning against you cause you to sin. That's how you handle a fool. You don't let him get under your skin.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, on February 11th, that's a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, I'm going to invite you to sit down with me as I interview Hedia Miramati. She was once a Muslim, born and raised in the Islamic world. Having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, came to know the Lord. We're going to sit down and talk about the world around us, about faith, and about our country. So join us Wednesday, February 11th at 7 p.m. Pacific time on the Real Life Network. Go to reallifenetwork.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his series called 1 Samuel and a message titled How to Handle the Fool, Part 1. Samuel of the Old Testament was the last judge of Israel and the first of her prophets. So here in chapter 25, we'll consider how even though Samuel has now passed on, David, prone to his own humanity and passion, was still a blessing to those around him. You see, our human nature is always tempted to seek its own before anyone or anything. But the life of a wise man is a powerful example to all those who look on. Saul, of course, ignored the example of Samuel, and here we'll see that a man named Nabal ignored the example of David. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that God has a way of exposing the fool. Nabal did not come to a place of repentance, and his sin enraged David. But Nabal's wife intercedes for him, and her goodness was an example of God's own heart. Now with his message called, How to Handle the Fool, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
What David is doing is he's allowing a remnant of his old sinful life to be available so that sin might climb up and take advantage. All you have to do is have a little bit of the door open or a little bit of the tree hanging so sin can take hold and advance upward to destroy. And now with what's going on, David, he's the king in waiting. He's got mighty men of valor. And he just got done handling chapter 24 so well. And just, I mean, is this not how our lives are? Great spiritual victory. And then we turn and step right into a puddle of nothing. And get all whacked out and goofed up on things. Didn't Solomon say it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes? You know that. In the vineyards, they would build fences to keep out those big, nasty foxes, because those foxes would come and eat all your grapes. But when the grapevines are just producing the grapes, the little tiny grapes, when they're the most tender, Solomon found out it's those little pups, it's the little puppy foxes that slither between the rocks, they get between the fence, and they run in and they eat all of the little virgin grapes, and they ruin the whole crop. It's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. It's the little sins that trip you and I up. The Bible warns us to be careful and not to be ensnared or have a sin trip us up or beset us. The book of Hebrews says, don't let it grab us and pull us down. It's usually the really silly little things that we don't think are big that get us. Maybe you battled with alcohol in earlier years and now you're not worried about that because you know what? You don't get near it. That's great. God bless you. Stay at it. But what does get you? Is it temper? Is it something else? Paul tells us that when we think we're strong in an area, watch out. Because that's the area most often that we fail at, we fall in. Oh, I got this one handled. I got this area in my life covered. And the Bible warns us that's the very area that we'll probably wind up tripping in. Oh, I can embrace this. The Bible says, can a man embrace fire to his bosom and not be burned? Yeah, I can. Well, what makes you think you can? I've handled it before. Be careful. In those areas that you think you're strong, that's where you'll become most weak. So, this danger zone in Paul's life, or David's life, I should say, he has not consulted with God. Could that be a danger of ours? Listen, he feels totally justified in his actions. I suggest that that's what you and I do. But I'm right on this one. You may be right on this one. But is it what God wants? David could say, God's people deserve better. That's true. That's why we're waiting to get to heaven. But our emotions will demand God's people deserves better. It's wrong for Nabal to act this way. It's wrong for that man to treat me that way, or for that woman to have done that, or those people, or that family. Good argument. Not denying that. David could have even said, you know what, and to top it off, it must be the will of God that I go and kill him, because his name means fool. I mean, if that's not an open door, what is? And see, we can justify. We can do that. And the sad thing is, David is really going down. And the scary thing is, all of us, if we're honest, can see a part of David in us for the good and a part of Nabal in us for the bad. Because what is of Nabal is now possessing a little bit of David. And that concerns us. In Proverbs 17:12, it says, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. You don't want to meet a mama bear who's lost her cubs. She'll rip you in half. Proverbs says it's easier for you to contend with that bear than a fool who's in the midst of his folly. It's easier to deal with a mama bear looking for her cubs than to deal with a fool. Well, here are some verses about how to identify a fool. You want to know how? Proverbs 28:26. The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. So in other words, Proverbs 28:26 says, Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So Proverbs 28:26 is one who trusts in his own heart. Proverbs 10:8 is the one where it says, a wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. So a fool, you can't teach him anything. You want to know why you can't teach a fool anything? Because they know everything. Now, here, let me show you. I got it. A fool has never done it before, but they'll write a book on it. And if you ever see a fool get ready to do something like that, get out your camera and record it and mail it in, and you might win $10,000. Because the fool will say, you know, here, I'll show you how to jump out of an airplane, and he'll forget the parachute, you know, that kind of a thing. They know everything. You can't tell them anything. And if in your area, you could be an expert, you know, on rocket science, and in the presence of a fool, you can say, well, you know, I know a little bit about rockets, and the fool will hear that, and he'll take off and talk about how much he knows rockets. And what do? You know what? You just let him go, because he won't listen to you. Bible says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 10:23, to do evil is like sport to a fool. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. See, a fool begins to justify, and David's getting dangerously close, though God will rescue him. Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but fools are hot-headed and reckless, says the Bible. As I read these verses, you begin to find out, I think I know some of these people. And then it gets real quiet, because then we begin to see parts of us in and of these people.
In Romans chapter 12, 21, the Bible says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you combat a fool, is just maintain the goodness of God. Don't let a fool get you sinning. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And when a man is operating in that place, he's a fool. Verses 14 to 17, how to handle a fool. We know that God has his ways. God has his ways, and one of those is that God will expose the fool. Now, verse 14 says, one of the young men told Abigail. By the way, this is one of Nabal's men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall to us, both by night and by day. All the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel, a son of Belial, or a son of Satan, that one cannot speak to him. Abigail, go talk to your husband, because David and his men, they're going to come back and kill all the men, including Nabal, and who can talk to your husband about this? Nobody, he won't listen to anybody. Man, this is amazing. God will expose the fool. In this case, by telling his wife. I think it's probably how it happens most of the time anyway, isn't it?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
If your wife was walking with the Lord, guys, you're not going to hear this, but if your wife is walking with the Lord, she's one of the greatest barometers in your life regarding spiritual direction or spiritual things. Remember that. Well, listen, sin unrepented of will be exposed. Nabal's whole life is a sin. But sin, if we were to take Nabal's life and whittle it down, it would be sin. And sin unrepented of will be exposed. Now listen to this. Who in this room is not a sinner? If you raise your hand, you're gonna need the paddy wagon, you know? Crazy. Who in here? Well, we've all sinned. Now listen. When you sinned, let's say it was a sin and it's in the past. Did you come to the place of repentance, asking God for forgiveness, and did you talk to God about it? And did you forsake it? If you did, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. He takes it away. But if you did not repent of it, that is, you did not see it wrong in the eyes of God, you did not see it wrong, and you're nurturing it, and you're looking for opportunity to still do it, just know this, your sin will find you out. In other words, confess it to him, he'll forgive it, cover it, and get it out. If you don't, and you hide it, and try to keep it a secret without taking it to him, your sin will find you out. God will display it in the sky. It will come out. Why? Because he wants to kill me? No. He wants you to grow spiritually. So he wants that to be dealt with in your life. He wants it to be taken away. And so if in our lives there is sin, could be a secret sin, take it to him now. Don't delay. Because he who seeks to cover his sin, it shall be exposed. Jesus speaks about how what is done in secret
will be shouted from the rooftops. And you're like, oh no, that just scares me to death. It'll ruin my life. Pastor, that I'll be horrible. Confess it to him. And it doesn't have to go that way. Tell him. And see to it that you understand that that sin was against him before it was against anyone else. Unless we repent of sin, it will have its way. Very quickly, and we'll be done with this portion of the study. We'll go down to verse 22 here. Verses 18 to 22, know that God has his ways. God will judge the sin. God will establish justice his way, my friend, and in his timing. Then Abigail made haste, listen to this gal, and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys, and she said to her servants, go on before me. See, I am coming after you, but she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went under cover of the hill. And there David was with his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Verse 21, now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness so that nothing was missed and all that of his belongings to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. Verse 22, may God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. David is in a rage. God will judge sin. And so we're going to leave off here with David. He's got his sword. There's a cloud of dust behind him. He's probably got goggles on and he's hanging onto the reins and he's just grinding his teeth and he's got just Nabal in his sights. Isn't this amazingly out of character for David? You say, well, yeah, it sure is. Have you ever acted, I don't mean necessarily like this, but have you ever been out of character and it's almost unexplainable? You say, man, that's not like me. What's going on? Why am I acting like this? Could it be that for a moment, we have now ceased to walk in the Spirit, now we're walking in the flesh? One of the signs of it, in the context of our study, is vengeance. I'm going to get back at him, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And you have to be careful that that does not happen. Some people are given so much a piece of their mind, they have nothing left anymore. But the point, and we'll pick it up next time, don't let another man who is sinning against you cause you to sin. That's how you handle a fool. You don't let him get under your skin. Now, next time when we get together, this is important stuff because Abigail is married to an idiot. And we're going to see how she conducts herself. And it's quite encouraging. She is going to defend her husband, who doesn't deserve defending. She's going to be a blessing to all of the men who are of her husband's company, employment. This lady's life will bless all of David's men. And this woman's witness will be a tremendous tool by where the Holy Spirit convicts David so radically that he has got to bow to her in respect and say, woman, you are far more righteous than I am. She just absolutely wins the day. Because you know what? Even though she's married to a lunatic, she's married to God first. And her witness is so Christ-like that the example will be given to us that best we be married to God as well. because her witness is so precious, even to this hour, even in the life that you and I live. Father, Lord, we pray now in our lives that we would divorce ourselves from being the fool. Father, because it is normal, it is natural for us to grab 400 choice men who are skilled at battle, a sword, and to take off after the one who has hurt or offended us. And God, how silly that must look to you if it wasn't so dangerous. Because no doubt, Lord, for whatever person we would take out after, then how many would be able to take out after us? Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would search our hearts, and Lord, that you would remove from us our foolishness, our pride, and Lord, just our self-authority, that we might think that we've got the corner market on this bit of information or the way things ought to be done. And Lord, we know nothing. Without the knowledge of your book, without your Holy Spirit possessing our lives, we would just be one crash, one accident after another. So Lord, instruct us as a church, as a people, and cause us, O Lord God, to be wise against the fool and to be on guard against the fool that dwells within us, our old nature that so easily interferes in our walk with you. So, Lord, we pray now that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and baptize us, Lord, into your desire. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called How to Handle the Fool, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Samuel, a series that highlights the prophet Samuel, who was called by God during one of Israel's darkest times to bring the people back to a heart of true worship. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Fear does not have to control your life, not when Christ is at the center of it. This month, we're featuring a powerful and deeply personal book, Living Fearless in Christ, by Hedia Miramadi. Once a devout follower of Islam and a high-level attorney in Washington, Hedia had everything except peace until she encountered the living Jesus. Choosing to follow him cost her everything, her career, her status, and her place in the world she once knew. But what she gained was far greater: freedom, identity, and a fearless faith that cannot be shaken. Her story will challenge you, encourage you, and remind you of the power of the gospel to transform lives. Living Fearless in Christ is more than a testimony. It's a call to bold surrender. Available for the month of February for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where real stories point you to real truth and real life in Christ.
Truth doesn't need permission, and it doesn't need a filter. The Real Life Network delivers bold biblical content that addresses today's toughest issues with clarity and conviction. Watch teachings and interviews and the special programs that equip you with God's truth for the world that we live in today. Sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com. Stay grounded in Scripture, gain perspective, and remain confident in Christ no matter what's happening around you. Stream for free today at reallifenetwork.com.
Hey everybody, on February 11th, that's a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, I'm going to invite you to sit down with me as I interview Hedia Miramati. She was once a Muslim, born and raised in the Islamic world, and having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, came to know the Lord. We're going to sit down and talk about the world around us, about faith, and about our country. So join us Wednesday, February 11th at 7 p.m. Pacific time on the Real Life Network. Go to reallifenetwork.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.